Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Ashley and I will bring you those stories, along with Anne Ball and Katie Weaver. Later, Marcia James will have this week's People in America report. But first, U.S. President Donald Trump and Pope Francis held a 30-minute meeting at the Vatican on Wednesday. The two men shook hands at the start of their face-to-face meeting. The Pope appeared serious. The President smiled. "It's a very great honor," Trump said to the leader of the Roman Catholic Church after they were seated in the Pope's private study. After the private meeting between the two men, they were joined briefly by Trump's wife, Melania, and members of the U.S. delegation. That encounter included an exchange of gifts. A Vatican statement said the Pope had a cordial discussion with the U.S. president. The Vatican also said it hopes the two sides can work together on health care, education, and assistance to immigrants. Earlier, reporters asked Pope Francis about his expectations for the meeting with Trump. The Pope reacted by saying he never, ever wanted to make a judgment without hearing the person. The two men had a clash of words last year when Trump, as a presidential candidate, spoke about his plan to build a wall along the U.S. border with Mexico. The Pope said, "Anyone who thinks of building walls instead of bridges is not Christian," a comment that Trump called disgraceful. The night before the meeting, a top Vatican official took to social media. Cardinal Peter Turkson of Ghana noted that both the president and the Pope are reaching out to the Islamic world to stop religious violence. "One offers peace of dialogue, the other security of arms," he said on Twitter. He appeared to be talking about the $110 billion weapons deal the U.S. president signed with Saudi Arabia days ago. Later, the Trump administration described the discussion between the leaders in a statement. It said they both shared fundamental values to promote human rights, combat human suffering, and protect religious freedom. Opinions about the U.S. president's visit on Wednesday were mixed on the streets of Rome. An American Catholic named Ava was happy that the meeting between Trump and the Pope had even taken place.
"I think it's fabulous that the Pope decided to meet with Trump."
She also said she hoped the meeting gave the man the chance to make peace. Near the official home of Italy's president, a 19-year-old Canadian man named Daniel and his girlfriend talked about the bombing in Manchester, England. They also expressed fears of terrorism in Europe. Daniel said he hoped Trump's visit would help make Europe stronger.
Taiwan's Constitutional Court ruled in support of legalizing same-sex marriage Wednesday. It marked the first such ruling in Asia. Rights activists celebrated the court's decision. It followed years of campaigning by supporters of gay rights. The court said current marriage laws were in violation of both the people's freedom of marriage and the people's right to equality. Taiwanese officials now have 2 years to make legal amendments to permit same-sex marriage, the court said. After the court's ruling, hundreds celebrated in the center of Taiwan's capital, Taipei. They flew rainbow-colored flags and shouted in support of gay marriage. Jamie, who did not want to give his last name, has been with his partner for 22 years. He said the ruling was an important moment for Taiwanese society. "I am so touched. Finally, we've reached this moment. This represents Taiwan's human rights. This is a step forward in human rights," he said. Jay Lin is director of the Taiwan International Queer Film Festival and a father of two. He said parents in same-sex relationships, in his words, need this law even earlier, even faster. The ruling Democratic Party, which swept national elections last year, supports the change. Legislators will now work on a bill to enforce the court's ruling. Both the ruling and major opposition parties in the legislature support the legalization of same-sex marriage. So does President Tsai Ing-wen, Taiwan's first female leader. Public opinion studies show a majority of Taiwanese support making same-sex marriage legal. Gays and lesbians in Taiwan have formed an effective lobby in recent years. Tens of thousands of people attend Taiwan's yearly Gay Pride Parade. Some conservative religious and social groups continue to push against gay rights. However, the influence of such groups is less strong than in the United States and other parts of the world. 22 of the world's nearly 200 countries have legalized same-sex marriage. In Asia, Taiwan is the first government to legalize such unions, while South Africa is the only country in Africa to permit them. More than 70 countries continue to criminalize homosexual acts.
Scientists say they have discovered a possible cure for all 5 known Ebola viruses. Antibodies that are used in the cure were discovered in the blood of a survivor. Kartik Chandran of the Albert Einstein College of Medicine helped discover the antibodies. They are described online in the journal Cell. Chandran says studies of the antibodies in non-human primates have shown positive results, He says he is optimistic that the antibodies can be used to protect and treat people too. The virus was given the name Ebola because the first recorded outbreak of the disease took place along the Ebola River in the Democratic Republic of Congo, then known as Zaire, in 1976. Since then, there have been about 24 Ebola outbreaks in Africa, including one happening now in the DRC. 9 people have been infected and 3 people have died. The most recent Ebola epidemic took place from 2013 to 2016. It killed more than 11,000 people and infected 29,000 in Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone. During that epidemic, researchers were studying an anti-Ebola drug called ZMapp. Doctors began using it even before the study was complete. ZMapp uses antibodies discovered in mice. They use the body's natural immune system to fight infection. If the drug was given within 5 days after Ebola infection symptoms appear, it can cure the disease. But researcher Kartik Chandran says ZMapp is effective only against Ebola Zaire. It does not fight the other 4 known Ebola viruses. Chandran says the recently discovered human antibodies attack and destroy all 5 of the viruses. Researchers say the antibodies work by interfering with a process that the disease uses to infect and multiply inside cells. Chandran says scientists discovered the antibodies in just 6 months. The drug company MAP Pharmaceutical Incorporated is now testing the antibodies in monkeys that have been exposed to Ebola. Spokespeople for the company say the antibodies have so far been safe and effective. Chandran says he hopes the antibodies can also be tested in people soon. And he says he hopes they can ultimately be used both as a treatment and as a vaccine to prevent people from getting Ebola in the first place. I'm Ann Ball.
Google announced new technology at its yearly developers conference last week. Many of these announcements involved updates to existing tech instead of new gadgets. These updates may make life a little easier. Google is adding a feature to Gmail to make it easier for the user to answer emails. Smart Reply learns how you write and suggests 3 short replies to emails you receive. You can choose one and send it, or add more words to the Smart Reply. Smart Reply will be offered in English and will expand to Spanish later this year. Google Assistant, the digital assistant from Google, is getting updates with new features. You will be able to use Google Assistant to do more things on more devices. For example, Google Assistant is learning to read. Users will be able to type questions to Google Assistant on their phones in addition to using voice commands. History will be added to Google Assistant so users can see what they have asked in the past. Google Assistant can help make your home smarter, as it now works with over 70 smart home partners. Use your voice to control your smart home devices with Google Home. More languages are coming to Google Assistant on Android. Google Assistant soon will be available in Japanese, Brazilian Portuguese, French, and German. By the end of 2017, Google Assistant will be available in Italian, Korean, and Spanish. Google Assistant is now available on the iPhone in the United States. People who want to use Google Assistant, but also want to use an iPhone, can now download the Google Assistant app. Unlike Siri, Google Assistant cannot be started by pressing the Home button on the iPhone. Users must go into the app to use Google Assistant on an iPhone. The Google Assistant app is free in the iTunes App Store. Google is making its Google Home smart speaker more useful. Google Home works with Google Assistant and will be able to let you know about information such as flight delays and traffic problems that may delay your travels. Users do not even have to ask for such assistance. Google Home will light up to let users know there is an alert. Then they just have to ask what the alert is about. Users also can now set calendar appointments and reminders through Google Home. The information will appear across all your devices. Google Home will be able to use voice activation for phone calls. Users can speak to Google Home to place calls and talk on the phone. Google Home will recognize voices. For example, if you tell it, "Call Mom," it will call your mother and not your partner's or roommate's mother. Google Home calls will be free to mobile phones and to landlines in the U.S. and Canada. Google Home will be getting Bluetooth so you can stream your music to it. You also will be able to play music directly from services such as Spotify, SoundCloud, and Deezer. If you have a Chromecast, you will be able to use your television as a screen for Google Home. If you connect your Google Home to your Chromecast, you will be able to see Google Home's answers to your questions on your TV. This feature will be added later in 2017. Google is improving its ability to identify what is in a photo. For example, with Google Lens, users could point their cameras at a poster for an event and do things such as adding the event to their calendars, buying tickets to the event, or finding out more about it. They can also use Google Lens to point their phone cameras at a restaurant and get reviews for it. Or they can focus on a flower, and Google Lens will identify the flower and suggest a nearby flower shop. But the coolest trick of Google Lens may be one involving your router. Point the camera at a router's password code, and Google Lens will automatically log you into the network. Last month, we reported on how Google and Pinterest were changing image search. Google Lens shows the increasing importance of image search to Google. Google added new useful features to Google Photos that make sharing your photos easier. Suggested Photos is a new feature of Google Photos that makes sharing easier. Suggested Photos will identify people in a user's photos and suggest that the user send them those photos. Users can even set Suggested Photos to send the photos automatically to people in the photos without the need for a suggestion. Shared Libraries is a new feature that lets users share their entire Google Photos library, or large parts of it, with other people. Users of Google Photos can now order printed books of their photos. Google will choose your best photos, or you can choose them yourself. Google Photos will make sure there are no duplicates and that you are choosing the best photo. Photo books start with 20 pages at just under $10 for soft cover and just under $20 for hardcover. The books will be available in the U.S. first and then in other countries later this year. I'm Katie Weaver.
Brazilian Zarella Mosquera moved to the United States as a teenager. The adjustment to a new place was difficult. Mosquera says she was a bratty teenager as a result, but it was not just the adjustment that affected her behavior. Mosquera says there was another major stress in her life at that time. She was the only member of her family who spoke English.
Being in a country with my family that doesn't speak Spanish, and my parents don't really speak English, but my parents were trying to give me all these responsibilities.
Along with Spanish and English, Mosquera also speaks Portuguese. But there was another universal language she learned to love as a child, art. Mosquera connected with drawing and painting while in school. But she mostly dismissed art as a path to a career. She says her dad would always say, "Think about the future." Mosquera did not think he would support the study of art once she went to college. But to her surprise, it was her parents who suggested just that. they urged her to apply to technical and liberal arts schools.
And one of those was Rhode Island School of Design. So that was like my top choice.
RISD, as it is called, chose Mascara as well. She enrolled in industrial design.
It's basically the design of products and services, because I could be doing something more technical, something more related to problem solving, whether it's figuring out a better way to filter water or developing a type of specific shelter for like refugees, for example.
Mascara says the course of study was tough, including metalworking, woodworking, and model making. She says in one class, she just drew cubes for an entire month, which led her to a question.
Wow, do I really want to do this?
But she says she survived the cube study and then began working on more interesting projects.
So you start kind of diving more into the creative process when you have a strong foundation in design. And my school is really big on material understanding as well, which is why we're trained to use every imaginable tool there is, like table saw, bandsaw, everything, because they give you an understanding of material. And when you have that understanding, that's when you can start designing things that are functional and also form-driven.
Mascara is now a design strategist for Marshall Moya Design, an architecture and interior design company in Washington, D.C. Her job, Mascara says, is to find the best solutions for a client need. She also supports the architecture team and branding department.
I have experience with exhibit design, product design, website design, textiles. I've been using all of the experience that I've had and all the different skills that I've gained.
Mascara also has a long-lived and deep interest in public art. This year, she helped create and design the walkway for the D.C. government.
That they wanted to see public art that was related to street harassment and to the public realm and how that affects pedestrian safety.
The creation was a 11-meter-long, tunnel-like structure. It was built to narrow sharply as the walker moves through. Bright lights change color along the path. On the walls are images of people. Voices and city sounds are played through speakers installed in the walkway. At first, the recorded conversations and street noise and pictures have a positive feel. But the images and audio increase in intensity along the path. The experience becomes dark and violent in the middle part of the walkway.
The purpose of showing these two different human emotions and human reactions is to allow people to reflect upon a variety of different expressions. So that brings up the conversation as to what is the right way to talk to each other in a public space. Should we talk to each other at all? So people were really questioning that, and that's what public art is meant to do.
For Mascara, the form of the structure created the greatest impact.
In a couple steps, it changes pretty drastically. And so actually feeling it versus just seeing it in a drawing was really impactful.
She enjoys developing public art in her free time, too.
Throughout my career, I've just picked up different things along the way. The best way to learn, in my opinion, is through working, getting as many projects as you can. Industrial design kind of makes you a jack of all trades.
I'm Marcia James.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.